Hey guys.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
Action.
What's up, everyone?
Hey.
We are recording our first YouTube episode. So
exciting. Also, I'm nervous. What do I do with my hands?
I love that you keep looking to the camera like we're on a news show.
Hey, everybody.
You would be that person who they came up to on the sidewalk who would be like, I have everything to say. I saw all the things that happened. Please.
Do you know that's my dream?
What?
My dream is for just to be walking down the street and something huge to happen, and then for a newscaster to be there and be like, what are your thoughts? And I'm going to be like, all of them? How much time do you have?
Do you think that you would give them your thoughts? It sounds like, honestly, the intro to a weird porno that you're fantasizing about.
You want all my thoughts or my thoughts? T-H-O.
I got thoughts for you. And then all of a sudden these people come out from the background.
And I'm like, no. I was going to go somewhere weird with it.
Weirder than where we already were?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it was going to involve taking his pants off. And then
see, I knew you thought this out further.
How wet it's going to be.
How wet's what going to be?
The weather forecast.
Oh.
I was going to give him a forecast.
I missed the beginning of that.
Well, that's where the double entendre comes.
I love a double and a triple entendre.
Yeah. Triple?
Yeah.
I've never heard of a triple.
Today's not the day.
Okay.
Sometime. Later. I think it's also an ice skating move.
Yeah.
No, I think that's an axel.
Oh.
You ever held your tongue and said axel?
Sorry. What are you saying? Inside of an
apple?
Oh, axel. I get it.
Okay. Well, anyway. Hi, guys. Welcome. We don't always drink.
But well, when we do, we're recording.
Honestly.
Honestly, that's the only time either one of us drink anymore. Like,
throughout the week.
Yeah.
But I do want to mention, not that anyone cares, because at this point, if you have followed us along for the last year, then you already know that we drink heavily.
Not heavily. I would say moderately.
Frequently on the podcast. Oh, okay. Is what I meant.
Sure.
We're big, heavy podcast drinkers.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not like the only way you're allowed to relax.
Yeah.
It is the way we relax.
Yeah, drugs exist too. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I saw one of my mom friends who was like, hey, stop trying to make all moms deal with momming by drinking
Have
wine.
Like wine. Yeah,
and I'm
I do
like,
hate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, cheers to that, girl. For sure, bring it here.
I drink beers.
Yeah, but also, like, you don't need to.
No, I want to.
I love that we keep breaking the third wall.
You know what I'm talking about.
We truly, truly have. Okay, the whole basis of this podcast is because we wanted to be friends with people without actually having to engage with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think we've kind of succeeded.
We
so.
Really have. Because people will reach out to me and be like, hey, girly, what's happening? And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
I have become.
In the best way, I love y'all.
I have become like really, really good friends. I've shared some deep trauma with yes. people who listen to the podcast.
I love it.
You send me a message and I'm like, let me pour my life out to you.
Truly.
More than on here.
How much time do you have?
You can imagine. There's more. Anyway, I'm going to try and not break the third wall every 5 seconds, but I feel like we're entertaining now. Because normally we used to just stare at our mics, but now.
I feel like we have people.
Yeah. So, this week's episode
is about one more book stuff. More college stuff.
Honestly, this... I know. I feel like you're giving a book report. So, she's had like 2 sips of beer, by the way.
Truly.
I feel like starting the podcast on YouTube is like we're going back to college with you.
Yeah.
So it's like this series is going to college with Cece.
Now I really do feel like a teacher because I'm like, listen up, class.
Well, I'm the class.
You
and
are.
I'm ready to learn.
Okay, so we did the same thing that we just talked about that we didn't do last week. We did it this week where we were like,
what?
me and you.
Oh.
Where we got to, what, Thursday?
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, hey, we should take a picture for the podcast. Also, what are we doing this week?
Oh, if you guys don't know, oh, sorry, I keep looking at you guys. Everyone who's listening, still, this is how we speak.
Yeah.
Anyway, for those of you who are just listening, I'm so sorry that this is chaotic. Go watch us on YouTube. if you see right here, I'm pointing to a sign, those of you listening, that's our old logo. We actually just took new photos for an updated artwork. So you'll be able to see that because it'll be up on all of our social media by the time this is out. But in remembrance, here she was.
Of what was.
Yeah.
Are we going to do these like school pictures every year? So like once a year to see how much we've grown?
We can do photos. We do photos all the time.
Well, I know.
But
I'm
I don't
want to
change our artwork again.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Because this has been, honestly, what we did is we took a picture, I edited it, and then I put text over it, and that was it. This one that I did, it took me.
It's very nice.
Hours last night and then hours again this morning. And I still don't know that I've selected one or that we've agreed on one.
No.
So
we will,
we got
though.
Like four. You know which one we picked whenever this is up. But
we don't yet, but you do.
Yeah, we don't know. So we're going back to school with Cece.
Yeah.
Cece.
Because this week I learned about counterproductive habits of mind, which was
really
cool.
I got
really
a lot
cool.
of. Yeah. I'm sure.
And apparently, we'll find out, those can have like detrimental effects on like anxiety, depression, things like that. And so this is basically talking about, because this is from my writing class, this is basically saying like how we interpret data and then regurgitate it in our writing and like what these can do to that. But it also is like in a day-to-day way of thinking, having these habits can really kind of block your like growth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it's almost like your inherent biases or prejudices or preconceived notions.
Yep.
All of those things, I assume, act like hurdles to information, because we've seen in the last year that
big time
information has been given to people, and whatever blocks they have created in their head,
like, no, that can't be real.
Because that data is not, it's like doesn't compute.
Yes.
That doesn't fit with my already,
what I want to believe about the world.
Right.
Or what I do believe about the world.
Right.
And
so in
be...
results in people doing some serious mental gymnastics.
Yeah. And it can be harmful in many different ways. Like,
well, against other people.
Yeah.
Or I think personally, mine are more against myself.
Well, that's, again, if it gets anxiety and depression wise, you can really fall down some rabbit holes,
right?
Without saying that, but you can really get yourself into a kind of tunnel of thinking that's only one way,
right?
Instead of being able to branch out, and that can be no good. So I'm actually using my textbook. So it's, the book is, I want to give them credit,
because
I'm gonna just straight read from this. But it's Writing Analytically, and it's by David Rosenwasser. I'm sorry, David.
Maybe I'll put the text on the screen.
Thank you. And Jill Steven. Her name is easy. Girls who run the world. Okay. So. So the first one we have is the judgment reflex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In its most primitive form, most automatic and least thoughtful, judging is like an on-off switch. When the switch gets thrown in one direction or the other, the resulting judgment predetermines and then overdirects any subsequent thinking that we might do, which I think we all know that. So once you've judged something, so when I read this, I decided to like test myself, books, anything I was watching, things on social media, and saw how quick it took for me to judge what I was taking in. And it was within seconds.
Immediate.
Within seconds.
We've talked about how we judge people while we're on walks.
Yes.
I think we talked about this on the podcast one time, but
when they're going to, if they're going to kill us,
we rate people on a scale of one to two,
10.
You're going to murder me.
Yeah. 10 is the highest, right?
Yeah. I mean, 10, please start planning my funeral. This person's going to murder me.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, that's a concern.
Yeah.
Based on the information that we have.
We're
being
women.
A woman.
Yeah.
We're vulnerable. And not because we are incapable. We're vulnerable because statistically, people take advantage of us mm-hmm. and use their size against us and with aggression.
Social media and news and everything media-wise that we have, we are aware now of how often it happens.
Right, we've collected more data, which yeah. just reinforces that judgment.
Yeah, it's crazy. So rather than thinking about what X is or how X operates, we lock ourselves prematurely into proving that we were right to think that X should either be banned or supported. So we don't even give it the chance. The psychologist Carl Rogers has written at length on this problem of judgment reflex. He claims that our habitual tendency as humans, which is virtually a programmed response, is to evaluate everything and do so very quickly. Now, I had a discussion board for my class, and a lot of us were discussing whether we believed if that was, like, from survival days. Like, if we developed that because we had to judge for our survival way, 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 way back in the day, whether something was safe or not. So we just kind of kept up.
Yeah, like evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why we judge things.
Well, I just watched a video today. I found a new YouTuber, and she is like, I've been binging her stuff all day. I'm going to try and find her. Stephen Colbert, get off my phone. But she...
But get onto mine, you silver fox. I'm not going to lie to you. Ever since I've seen Stephen Colbert, like from back when he used to do the Colbert Show and stuff, I got like a hard crush on that.
Listen,
John
all
Stewart
of...
too, oh my God.
All... Yeah, for sure. Okay, so her name is Khadija Mbowe. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. It's Mbowe. But she was talking about Bridgerton, which I'm obsessed with. Have you watched it?
I need to, but I've had my kid with me or I've been studying and I can't watch it. When he's
But she was talking about how in Bridgerton, there was just some problematic things. Like, they spoke about wanting to have a really diverse cast, and they wanted to really talk about some racially charged or just, like, societal issues that are, like, big right now. And how they talked a big game, but, like, it didn't play out in the show.
Right.
And she was saying that she quoted someone else. So just go watch her video about Bridgerton. But she was saying that your first thought that pops into your head is not your fault. It's society's fault.
Oh, that was like the next thing that came up. Yeah. It says that it's your taste, your interests, your biases. They are normally guided by family, friends, or popular opinion that over the year, then you've come to.
Right. So she's like, your first thought, like... when you see something pop up on the screen or in a magazine or on the street, your first initial thought is not your fault because it's been so influenced heavily by media, by society.
Friends,
but your
family.
Second thought, that's your responsibility.
Yeah.
So when I was when we were having a lot of discussions frequently in the summer about the Black Lives Matter movement, not that we should be done talking about it, and we're not done talking about it, but... one of the things that we talked about is like your first instinct, like if you have a prejudice or a bias, it's not your fault initially. But if you continue it after you have that first one and you don't challenge it and you don't try every single day to rework it,
then that's on you.
Yeah, that's on you.
Yep. Absolutely.
And
it is hard work. That's what people, it's work. Right. That's why people take the easy way out and are just like, you know what? I would just rather not. Why are we making everybody's lives more complicated? Because we have to be so, what is it? The word that
PC,
they use.
PC, politically correct. Yep. And,
and it's like, it's just not being racist. I wouldn't really say it's PC, but sure, whatever.
But like anything, even with calling people, we talked about this last week, calling people by their proper pronouns, all of these things. If you mess up the first time, okay.
Yeah, it happens. We're all
human.
Own
it and then do better.
Yep.
And actively try and do better.
Yep.
As long as you are challenging, in my opinion, as long as you are challenging those biases, those prejudices, those things, those judgments that first pop up into your mind, then I think that you are at least trying to yep. progress as a better person.
Yeah. I try to do that with my son because obviously we've talked about I'll flip out sometimes. I'm just a human being. Right. And that's how a lot of times my anxiety manifests as anger. So I will have emotional outbursts.
Yeah.
But I try to, I tell him, first of all, that I'm sorry, because that's, I think, the most important thing. And then I tell him that I'm going to do better and actively try to do yeah. better. I've gotten way better.
Have I talked about my anxiety tube?
No.
Okay.
What's this about?
I just talked to someone the other day about my anxiety tube. And I think I told it to Barbara. So do you remember when we were in kindergarten and our kindergarten teacher
loved her.
Had this tube full of balls?
Yes.
And she filled the balls. And it was on her desk.
Yeah.
And when the balls filled all the way to the top, we got a pizza party.
Why did she fill the balls? What did we have to do to fill the balls?
Just if we did something good or the class followed all the directions, like whatever. Okay, well.
I miss pizza parties.
We can have one.
I think we should.
Okay.
Okay.
But in my head, because, you know, sometimes she would drop like 3 or 4 balls in that tube. It wouldn't just be one. She'd like give us a big jump.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my anxiety is like the same way. Sometimes I wake up and that bitch is halfway full.
Sure.
And one thing will happen, drop 3 balls in and all of a sudden, my anxiety tube is overflowing. I'm having a panic attack.
Weird. We also talked about this in my other classes, my intro to conflict management. And we talked about how people have a fuse and that's how we have to determine like the base of the conflict. Yeah. But yeah, fuses have a lot to do with it. So if your fuse is short because this has happened and this has happened and this has happened.
Right.
And some people start off the day with short fuses.
Yeah. Well, no. My sisters used to sing short fuse at me because I would just freaking snap out of nowhere. And now I know that I just had a panic disorder.
Yep.
Undiagnosed for the majority of my life. And now I can understand or I can... At least it's hard to communicate with a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
But I can have my tube half full and be able to recognize, like, I don't have the friend I was talking to about this, she used the word threshold. And I was like, I love that sound.
Stealing that.
Yeah. So I can tell how big of a threshold I have for his stuff that day.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not very much. And it's a struggle because you are constantly trying to set an example, but also you're a human.
Yeah.
And being a human and having big emotions and teaching your kid how to process those big emotions is also setting a good example.
Yeah.
The never having them is not
something we talked about again in my conflict management class, how a lot of times we are taught don't have any emotions.
Right.
Keep it in. And then
that's not realistic.
No, because you're going to have grief, sadness, anger. These are all going to happen as you get older. And instead, also, Noah's therapist, we talk about this all the time because she's like, we're not going to tell you to quiet your emotions. What we're going to do is we're going to teach you how to deal with them when they come because they will come and you need to be able to deal with them. And I'm like, I love you.
Yeah.
But that's what, I don't know. That's what you have to do.
I was watching another YouTuber and she was talking about tantrums with her daughter.
I gotta get on my YouTube.
Honestly, I spend all day on it. I don't hear other people talking.
Yes.
And like
that's why I do podcasts. Yeah. I don't watch, but I do listen to podcasts.
I struggle sometimes with podcasts because they're too long.
Yeah. And you can get lost as we're podcasting.
I know.
You know what?
I heard myself. But sometimes
I pause mine. I could go days without. Well, and
sometimes
then
I'll miss
back.
Too much. And like in a podcast, I actually care about the information. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in a YouTube video, if it's like a vlog,
it's just like a background noise.
Yes. I just like sometimes to hear another adult speaking English.
I understand.
But she was talking to her toddler and explaining how they kind of deal with tantrums. And one of the things she said was, you know, it's going to happen. And so acknowledging, saying, hey, it's okay to have the feelings that you're feeling. It's not okay to hit me.
Yes.
It's okay to have that feeling. It's not okay to throw things.
Yep.
And so I have noticed since I started implementing that with Ollie, his tantrums have gotten way shorter.
Yeah.
He has.
I've never seen him have one.
Oh, well.
Well, I'm not here a lot.
He has stopped hitting almost completely.
That's amazing.
Now, if he's real, real mad, he's just started throwing things because he used to hit.
Yep.
But now, because I said hitting's not okay, he's going to throwing.
Yep.
And now I'm just like eliminating all the things that he wants to do. But I'm trying to teach him to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Deep
breathing.
I have to also model that. Yep. And I don't always do it. Sometimes I get the gritted teeth where I just like yell something. And I did it the other day. He was mad at me and he was trying to push me off this chair. And I looked at him and I go, I need you to have some patience. And then I said, and if I need you to have patience, I felt like I was in a freaking sitcom. I felt like I was in Full House.
You
and
look
I
went, at the camera.
If I want you to have patience, I should have patience. And then we hugged. I like full Danny Tannered myself.
Listen, this is what we do with Noah. Miss Tiffany tells us.
I love that her name is Miss Tiffany. Is she also in your thought video for the beginning?
Yes.
Your weatherman?
She's directly behind me.
I'm Miss Tiffany.
She's amazing. Okay. So she's told us this won't be helpful really with Ollie now, but maybe a year from now I can see it. But when Noah gets those big, she's like, play a game with him. And sometimes he can play this game with himself because he has an anxiety issue too. So she's like, when you're feeling that tightness in your chest and you're feeling like you can't go to sleep and those all those thoughts are racing, start from A to Z. Pick a group, a category. We did animals. And let's go through. You can play it with mom. You pick an A word.
Yeah.
Asshole. We did like anteater. We went all the way down the line.
I don't love that you picked asshole and then anteater.
Asshole eater.
Yeah. Isn't that a song?
Asshole eater?
There's something. Well, there's lots of songs about eating ass, I think.
No, for sure. I think it's called. Oh, no.
I love that we just went from, like, a deep parenting moment to eating ass. If that is not...
our brand?
To its core, I don't know what is.
Oh, we are so on brand right now. I hope my professor is watching.
I hope your mom's watching.
Okay, oh. She said she's like, I don't know if my new boss likes me listening to your podcast. Oh my God.
So, out loud?
Yeah, at her work.
Get that bitch some headphones.
So she's like,
what's her boss's name?
I don't know. What's she's got Mike? A new boss.
What's good with him?
Her other one used to be George. Sorry, George.
Do you think George, he's not there, right?
I don't know if he's still lingering. Mommy, don't listen. Hey.
Okay. So,
do you want to hear some cures for? Okay. This is the cool one.
I was gonna say, are we done with all the other problems of our brains?
Well, this no. I'm doing we're cures for just that. The judgment reflex.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
But
so these are reflexes for your brain. Did we say that?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe we've gone so far. I need to remind people.
I'm so confused. Where are we? Your basement, I know, but
yeah.
Okay, so the fact that you didn't like or that you did like a movie probably says more about you than it does about the movie. What makes a movie boring? That it doesn't have enough car chases, that its plot resembles a lot of other plots. Your opinions and your biases are what make you like or dislike a movie, not
that's
the movie
wild.
Itself. Unless it's like, what was that one movie that everybody makes fun of because it was terribly done? And then they redid it with not Johnny Depp. Where am I?
What movie?
It was called
Napoleon Dynamite.
I want to say The Crow, but I know that's not it. It was called.
You're thinking of Schitt's Creek with the crows. The birds?
It's not important. We're moving on. You guys know what I'm talking about?
No. All right. Leave it in the comments below.
Oh my God! Comment! Rate, review, subscribe. I've always wanted to say that. Okay. At the very least, in such cases, you'd need to share with readers your criteria for your judgment. So if you can give your reasoning for your judgment, that I think that will go a long way in understanding why you think the reasons that you do.
Sometimes people
things.
Give me their reasoning for their judgment and I judge them more.
Me too.
For their judgments.
For sure. I'm like, wow. So you're.
I've gained more information on you and I feel more solid about feeling like you're a dick.
For sure. But have you ever gone to the movies and then, like, what do you hear as soon as you walk out of the movies?
I don't know. I'm normally running to the bathroom. Also, it's been so long since I've been to a movie.
I know. That's one time we went to watch Thor. I'm sorry.
One time we went to watch Thor, and I was, I think, no, we were dating, and I had the shits so bad. Everyone's shocked. I know that I had to leave this movie four times. At one point, I sat at the bottom. I didn't even go back to my seat. I just waited because I knew I wasn't done, but I couldn't
but
sit in the bathroom.
You wanted to watch the movie?
Yes.
One time, I took a Vicodin.
Okay.
I had a really bad headache.
Yeah. For sure.
No, I really did. And then we went to watch a movie, and I didn't realize that I couldn't take Vicodin at that point because someone was just like, here's Vicodin for your headache. And I was like, that seems extreme, but okay. I really want to see this movie.
You know best.
It was an ex-boyfriend.
So you know best.
I didn't even look at the pill. It could have been anything.
It probably was.
Honestly, my teens were wild. So... halfway through the movie, I was like, oh, I feel different. Yeah. This isn't good. And then I was like, I feel like maybe I need to go to the bathroom. And as I was walking down, I threw up into my mouth and then like ran out and like threw up into the trash can the rest of the way. And I looked up and everyone at the popcorn stand was just like staring at me. So it was right outside. And I was like, hello.
Love this for me.
I'm not even coming out of like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or anything. It was like a funny movie.
You are someone who loves scary movies. And I want to know what that says about you because I am not.
I don't love them. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, you love crime documentaries.
Yes, that is why. I
don't know if that's better because that's
it's not
true.
Yeah, I actually hate movies that aren't based on real things, like scary movies, if they're too like wildly inaccurate. But yeah. I loved Texas Chainsaw Massacre because I was like, Ed Gein, what?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based on Ed Gein, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know who Ed Gein is.
Sorry?
Why would that says more about you than it does about me? I need you to stop judging me, okay?
I know, I'm sorry. This is not to say that all judging should be avoided, only delayed, because you need to take into account how your judgment has been affected by the details of a situation, the context, and then acknowledge how thinking about these details has led to your restricting the range of your judgment. So that will help you with your frame of mind. Just delay it a little bit longer. Ask yourself, question why you're judging things.
Oh. So that's the part where you're, that's the part where it's encouraging you to challenge your first thought.
Yes.
Okay. So it was just in a textbooky way. And I was like, oh my God. Please get into my head. She's reading things aloud and it won't go in.
Sorry. I'm sweating. I forgot that this is, I need to.
Watch my plant.
I can't. It's really encroaching in
my... We decorated for you guys.
It's really in my territory.
Sorry.
I wanted to say terrarium.
You're in its terrarium.
I'm a turtle.
Honestly,
I
heavily resemble a turtle.
I love turtles, and I feel like you are a turtle spirit.
I actually had my spirit checked.
And you were...
a horse.
What?
Also resemble a horse. I think I told you that before.
I thought it was a rabbit for some reason.
No, I see rabbits. Everyone sees rabbits.
I was like, don't we all? Not all of us.
Yeah, but the ones I see are my grandma.
I feel like we should unpack this. Which grandma? My grandma or your other grandma?
He didn't say.
Oh.
I think it's my grandma Heck. Okay. I think it's my grandma, not your grandma. Grandma.
I want to see my grandma in a rabbit.
She wouldn't be a rabbit. If grandma came back, what would she be? Wait, let's say it at the same time.
Okay.
If we both say Brad Pitt, I swear to God.
Okay.
Wait,
I have to think about
it. It's an animal?
Yes.
Okay, wait. It has to be... Let's narrow down the category.
Okay, sure.
What do you immediately think?
Bird.
You think a bird?
Kind of. She was so elegant. I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, wait, what were you thinking?
I was thinking some African animal.
Well, I was also kind of thinking a cat. A big cat.
I was thinking a big cat.
Okay.
Is she a lion?
Oh, no. I was going to say cheetah.
She walked a lot. She was not that fast.
Mm.
She had the hair.
You're right. You're right. Right. Okay, I'm on board.
She could freaking...
But lady lions don't have the hair. She's a male lion. When she comes back.
Wherever she is, she's pissed.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm kidding. She's up there for sure.
I meant wherever, as in like she was floating back and forth. I did know. You know what? I don't think I believe in hell.
Oh, I don't. I for sure don't believe in hell.
I don't believe in hell. No. I think the idea of hell is enough to scare people. And so that it doesn't have to be real.
No, it's not. I think hell is here. I think if people get trapped
in
here.
Hell? We already said that. Remember?
No.
And that's how this whole thing started.
Are we Groundhog Day ourselves again?
Could be. Okay. Continue. Get us out of the loop.
Because I'm scared. Okay. Here's some cures.
Mm-hmm.
Become conscious of the dislike and like switch in your brain and try to avoid it. Neither agree or disagree with another person's position until you can repeat the position in a way the other person would accept as fair and accurate.
When I do that, I always say it with a tone that sounds like, I think you're a fucking idiot.
But let me see.
So what you're saying is... Did I hear that right? That's normally when I hear it. You're so condescending.
And I'm like, really? I'm just trying to use words. Do you not like words?
I just repeated what you said back to you. And if you didn't like the way it sounded, then that's your fault. Change
Pick
your
new
fucking
words.
Mind. Pick new words.
Okay. Try eliminating the word should from your vocabulary for a while. My therapist tells me that all
me
the time.
Too.
Get rid of should statements.
Yes.
Should statements are so bad.
Barbara told me should statements are distorted thoughts.
They are, and they will fuck up your brain.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Get rid of should altogether.
Yeah.
Also, it's a weird word. Think about it. Should.
Yeah.
Say it more than once. Should.
Should.
Should. See, the more you say it, it sounds really fucked up.
You know what makes me angry is I see it in my head.
And it's not spelled the way that it should
with
be.
With two O's?
Oh, I see mine with a C-H.
Oh, you see
C-H-U-D. Should.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just judged you.
Yeah, because that's Judd. What am I thinking?
I judged you. Also, is there an L?
Yes.
There is?
Should.
Should?
Yes.
Should has an L?
S-H-O-U-L-D. What a fucking... if it was an R instead of an L, it would be shroud. So tell me why it's should.
No, it wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't.
It would be short.
You fucking idiot.
It's a good thing you're in college. You gotta schedule spelling next semester.
God damn it.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
That was hard.
Shroud, you stupid fool.
Hey, you guys can all judge me right now.
Oh, my God.
What
about okay, listen. This is how much beer she's had. Those of you who are just listening, it is half a glass. And I have not even finished my half a tiny glass
of wine.
So for
you people that are like, oh, they drink too much and sometimes they sound silly. Surprise, it's just me.
Surprise.
This is me sober.
We're just fools.
Yes.
Okay.
Try eliminating evaluative adjectives, those that offer judgments with no data. I don't know what that means.
Evaluative.
So like good or not good.
Stupid or not stupid. Hey, click clack.
Yeah, make yourself at home.
Okay.
Sorry, we gave him too much attention. I put this up to my mouth, so I feel like I have to drink now, even though...
Honestly, I went to reach for my glass earlier, and normally I would just like put my hand back on my leg and not think anything about it, but I know that it's recorded now, so I'm like, oh, find something to do with your hand.
I know. All right, the next habit is naturalizing our assumptions, which is over-personalizing. I do this way too often.
I need you to explain to me what that is.
Okay. The word naturalize in this context means we are representing and seeing our own assumptions as natural, as simply the way things are and the way things ought to be.
But that's because we're right.
Well, yeah.
So.
Oh my God, I rented this book. I just got my makeup.
I'm sure it's fine. Yeah, add your spit. That'll help.
COVID!
Did you just hit puberty? You know what's funny is before we started, Shane was like, lean back as far as you would normally lean back.
I would never lean
back. I've watched you. You've basically done a full ab workout leaning back and forth.
They're so, yeah.
But yeah, I can't help that I'm right. So
what do you want me to do?
What's it say in there about being just a higher being?
Well, it is surprisingly difficult to break the habit of treating our points of view as self-evidently true. Not just for us, but for everyone. The overpersonalizer assumes that because he or she experienced or believes X, everyone else has too.
Well, here's my problem. If I already question my reality as it is.
Me too. I just did it last night so hard where I was like, I'm for sure dead right now.
And oh, all I of don't this... question it like that. Oh. I just
Should I see some?
Yes. I question more like, did it happen like that? Did I have the right to feel the way that I did about that? Maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. Mm. That's a trauma response. I'm 100% aware. But
what's mine?
What's what?
That I think I'm dead.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think you're
dead.
You've just been in quarantine for too long. What was the other thing you said? Oh. You don't need to repeat it. I remembered my thought.
Okay.
So I have always said, this is regarding the part that's like, don't assume that your reality is the reality. Mm-hmm. You refrain from the superiority complex.
Well, and where this is coming from, by the way, so that it makes more sense, is like mostly when you're trying to explain things in writing. But also, I think it's good if you're explaining things in conversation. Don't assume that somebody understands where you're coming from.
Right.
If you don't explain where you're coming from.
But if someone says something off the cuff and I'm like, that's fucking wrong. Mm-hmm. Or I disagree with that. I am open to a conversation,
yeah.
And if you can explain it to me in a way where you don't sound uninformed,
yeah,
or racist or bigoted or misogynistic or something like that, you know, one of those things.
Right.
If you can explain it to me in a way that I'm like, oh, I never thought about it that way, I'm open to that.
For sure. Because that's what I want. I think that's how we expand our way of thinking.
Right.
But like this says, it says, quote, people are entitled to their own opinions, end quote. And then it says, even if those opinions belittle others or express hatred and aim to provoke violence, that's where you toe the line with this in why it's dangerous. It says, people who naturalize their own assumptions, a version of the judgment reflex, so this is another version of that, tend to make personal experience and prejudices an unquestioned standard of value. So, like, they just assume that everybody else... Give you an example of how something that is like this. Have you ever been around a group of white people and they think because you're a white person that they can say something off kilter and they look at you like, yeah, bud, right? And you're like, fuck no.
Yep.
Absolutely not. Yes. And then they get like offended that because they're like, but you're white. Why do you care that I just said this off whatever thing?
Yeah,
could be anything, but
same
you know.
Thing happens with me being a Christian. People will say things that traditionally I guess Christians believe, and they'll say things and then look at me and I'm like, oh no, not me, guy.
No, sir.
Liberal Christian.
Yeah,
like the Jesus kind.
like the
brown Jesus kind,
like who Jesus was when he was here.
Yeah. So that's happened a lot, and it's super uncomfortable.
And it's disheartening, because it's like, oh, I thought you were somebody, and now I am judging you, because I know that we don't have to talk about where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Your opinions are wrong.
I feel like I turned into Tyra Banks, and I'm like, we were rooting for you.
We were all rooting for you. How dare you?
Yes.
For sure. So the next habit is generalizing, obviously. We generalize from our experience because this is one way of arriving at ideas. The problem with generalizing as a habit of mind is that it removes the mind much too quickly from the data that produced the generalization in the first place. I'll give you an example.
Thank you.
Once I find it. Oh, most of us tend to remember our global impressions and reactions. The dinner was boring. The house was beautiful. The music was exciting. But we forget the specific concrete causes of these impressions along the line. What was it that made them? And so I don't know why that would be. It's a bad thing in writing, but I'm assuming it's a bad thing altogether just because you start overgeneralizing too much and therefore you're
losing detail.
Yeah. You just kind of gloss over things so you can remember. And I think that's a bad thing, too, because it cements something in your mind as one way when it might not have been that way specifically.
It's very, very hard in regards to trauma, specifically for me, to realize that something was not the way that you remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I've talked about how I was in an unhealthy relationship, and I think you can also probably relate to this. While I was in it, all I thought about was the good things. I thought that generalization of like, this is a happy, healthy
this
relationship.
This is good.
This is a positive thing. I love this.
Both of my eyes are black, but we're having a good time. He loves me so much. He bought me flowers and sent them to my work the other day.
All I did was think about like, oh, well, he bought me this, and he brought his TV.
The love bombing.
Yes.
Because a lot of times in abusive relationships specifically, but just in toxic ones also, there is a level of love bombing that happens, and it normally happens after something very bad has happened to get you to come back. But those love bombs are so strong that that starts to be the only thing that you think.
Yeah.
When you look back on it, you're like, no, the longer you get away from it. Because even when after I first left, I was like, was I just making up that it was terrible, even though everybody in the world was telling me that it was? And then the longer I got away from it, the more those start to deteriorate. And the long-lasting memories were the ones that made an impact, the bad ones.
Is like, I don't remember anything. I know facts. Like, I can tell you, yes, this happened. But because my brain rerouted the overall situation to the positive so many times, I completely forgot the negative. And with other areas of trauma in my life, the only time that I remember the negative is when it's triggered by something random and I get like a flash of a memory. And then I have to question,
did that really happen?
Is that real?
Yeah. Well, that happens to me a lot because
if that's real, what I know about this can't still be true.
Right.
And it's so weird.
Right. Well, that's been happening to me a lot with dreams. I told you that I've been having nightmares, but the nightmares aren't really nightmares. They're more of memories that I blocked out during that time. And I'll wake up and be like, no, it wasn't like that. Was it like that? I mean, I know that my eyes were both black, but did it happen in the way that I'm remembering that and whatever? And I don't know. It's just hard because there were so many good moments of my life back then that I don't want to overgeneralize and be like, it was all bad, because it wasn't. Right. It's very complex. You don't want to label it as one thing or the other.
Well, I was writing a journal because I was encouraged in therapy.
Amazing.
And I realized some things about myself and I started questioning the source of them. And I started to pull apart. I thought of my life like a tapestry. And if I start pulling this certain strings that I am questioning and I don't necessarily like the source of them, what happens to the rest of the picture?
Yep.
It feels like it's all together and it feels like it's going to unravel. And that's terrifying.
It is.
And it's scary to think that by not wanting to remember anything good or bad from a period of your life, how do you separate one person who was so involved in all of it from the rest of it? It's like you've just lost how many years of your life now.
Oh, yeah. That's how I feel about for 4 or 5 years of my life, which is sad because those were my child was involved in them.
Right.
But I have like hardly any memories of that time because of, I'm assuming, my brain's coping mechanisms. Yeah. And it's sad because people be like, remember when Noah did this? And I'm like, no. Truly, I don't.
I'm sure it was a good time.
And it's sad because I want to think back and remember happy times. I don't. So many of those were muddled in with the bad that I'm like, no.
Yep.
Sucks. The problem comes with when generalizations omit supporting details. So consider for a moment what you really are asking others to do when you offer them a generalization such as, This is like when you're talking to somebody and saying something like, this policy is a disaster. Okay.
Yeah.
Unless the recipient of this observation asks a question, such as, why do you think so? He or she is being required to take your word for it.
Right.
The changes are a disaster because you say they are.
Which
is happening a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that everybody, I don't think it's people that listen to us, but just in case someone offhand watches this, be mindful of that, because those overgeneralizations, when you post something, when you say something, can have an impact, especially on people who are not.
And hey, if someone asks someone, I don't know, in a press conference, hey, can you explain this? And they just say, oh, you just wait. You just wait.
Not a good.
Can you elaborate on why you say this person is this? Do you have any evidence of this? Oh, it's coming. You just give me a minute. It'll be right there.
Not helpful.
Big red flag.
Yeah, huge red flag. Okay,
they're generalizing something for a reason.
Yeah.
Sometimes generalizations happen and they're like, whatever. Other times they are intentional.
Yeah.
To change viewpoints.
The narrative.
Yep. And to completely create judgments in people's heads, so that any time all this information comes up later or something happens, you already have an implicit bias in your brain.
100%. That's bad. Generalizing. Yeah. Why? Yep. Well, I didn't say that. I just said it's bad. And then this person over here heard that's bad and they're like, well, that must be bad.
Yep.
I'm not going to ask any more questions.
I don't need to, because someone already told me it's bad and now I feel like it's validated again. And it's dangerous. And then that's how we attack facts. That's how we attack science. That's how we attack truth.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you and I with this will go over a point, almost to the point of like beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we just forget that we've talked about it.
Yeah.
But I want to do those things because I think it's important to, like we've said before, words are important.
They matter.
Words matter.
Right.
And over explaining something is better than under explaining something.
Right.
In my opinion. The simplest anecdote to antidote, not antidote.
Anecdotes, what we do. We're ladies and anecdotes.
LNA, baby. I actually love that.
LA?
It's too late to change it.
No.
To the problem of generalizing is to train yourself to be more conscious of where your generalizations come from. Press yourself to trace your general impressions back to the things that cause them. Deciding to become more aware of your own responses to the world and their causes counteracts the inevitable numbing that takes place as habit takes control of our lives. Does that make sense? Because I can't explain it. But if you give me a second, I can try.
Honestly, I felt like I was so trying to get that. And I did not. And now I don't. I was so hoping you were like, let me give you an example.
I will.
Then, is there one?
No, but I'll think of one. Okay. So, just have to become more.
Wait, give it to me again. Give it to me again.
Okay, let's do it again. Together. We're going to break this down together. Because this is important.
Yeah. We're sure it is. We don't know.
Train yourself to be more conscious of where they come from.
Where what comes from?
Generalizations.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Press yourself to trace your general impressions back to what caused them.
Yeah.
Okay, we got that.
Yeah.
Doing it. Deciding to become more aware of your own. I am fully aware.
Y'all, you just end it like.
Sorry. I just realized I was doing that. Deciding to become more aware of your own responses to the world and their causes counteracts the inevitable numbing that takes place as habit takes control of our daily lives. That's where I lost me.
So essentially, your habits of your judgments and your generalizations take control and basically create a reality around those things.
And you have to become more aware in order to stop it.
Yes.
Dude, got it.
Yeah, that was
simple. I actually had that.
For sure. You needed to break it down for me. Yes. I was slow there.
It was for you. I do all of this for you.
Thank you.
Not me.
No, for sure not you.
Okay, this part is important. This is where it literally says, a psychologist speaks.
Speaks as in like enters the room? Is this a play?
Yes.
Enter me, a psychologist.
So this says, psychologists who study the way we process information have established important links between the way we think and the way we feel. What are you doing?
I'm sorry, there was nothing in the glass and I got sad and now everyone knows I picked it up. Okay, anyway, what'd you say?
I called it out. Some psychologists, such as Aaron Beck, have identified common errors in thinking that parallel the habits of mind discussed in the chapter. Beck and others have shown that falling prey to these, they're kind of the same things. Yeah. Counterproductive.
All I heard was Aaron Burr, sir, when you said Aaron Beck, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? Sorry.
So now you're gone.
I know.
For instance, a tendency to engage in either or thinking, overgeneralization and personalization has been linked to higher levels of anger, anxiety, and depression. Failure to attend to these errors in thinking chokes off reflection and analysis, and as a result, the person becomes more likely to react before they think, which may prolong and exacerbate the negative emotions that they feel.
Because I think that happens out of defensiveness.
It does. There's so much of it that comes from defensiveness.
I feel
it's
attacked,
like,
because you think I'm wrong. Yeah. If I'm wrong, then I'm stupid. And it's all of these internalized
and
fears.
And because of your judgment. Because of your initial judgment, you are reacting to that judgment before fully listening to what it actually is.
Right. Right, right, right.
Before, you're just making an assumption before.
Now, I think because I am the opposite of this, where I will spend entirely too much time break it down.
Yeah.
And thinking, I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast, but I've told you, I will recite a conversation. Like if I have to have like a confrontation with someone, or not like a screaming confrontation, but like if I have to confront something with someone, mm-hmm. I will overthink that conversation 1,000 times until I find the way, because I'll play out both of our parts.
You have told me that because I do that, and you're like, that's a trauma response.
Well, I found it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam told me too. My sister told me that's a trauma response.
And also, like, having to control that to the point of being like, well, this is what I planned the conversation to go this way, and you didn't do it.
Well, I won't do that. I'll just like, if I can't find a way that I think the conversation is going to go well, if I don't think I can explain myself in a way where someone's going to understand and not feel attacked, not feel hurt, not feel shamed, then I won't bring it up, which is toxic.
Yeah.
It's hurtful to me, but.
Well, and especially because that leads us to suppressing things. Right, and then that is no bueno, because in my conflict management class, the best thing that my teacher said, and she was talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. I love all my professors because they are just so, like,
educated.
Yes, I mean, truly. And enforcing everything. But she said, conflict has to happen for change to happen.
Right.
It's
and
the
that's
way
why we ruined Father's Day.
We did. But with anything in our life, change won't occur unless conflict happens. Now, conflict doesn't have to be screaming and fighting.
Right.
But conflict can be a conversation.
Right.
But change won't come unless conflict happens.
Yeah,
so
you can't
in
stay in
that
a comfort
way,
zone and have change.
That's why we have a conflict management course, because you can't get rid of conflict.
Right.
It has to be there. But you can manage it so that it doesn't get crazy out of control. Yeah. It's a lot more difficult.
You got to take the emotion out of it and just get down to the source.
And you should take the class. I'm taking. No, just kidding. But really, that's what it is.
We are going to take it with you right here.
I know. Well, I can't wait till we get more into it, because I'm like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But she said there are times that conflict gets out of control, like on January 6th, where you have too many. There was no, how am I going to put this? I mean,
I can't think of any nice words, so I don't
really
know how you're going to put it.
There was no there was no resolution that they were looking for that could have happened.
Yes, there was no solution.
Yeah. So with Black Lives Matter, it's like, hey, stop killing people.
Yeah.
Resolved.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
What they were storming the Capitol for was like not...
Couldn't happen. You can't.
It was not an actual solvable problem.
No.
It was a temper tantrum.
It was. In a lot of times...
In a really dangerous way.
Yeah. And a lot of times that is... Conflict comes from tantrums and from things getting to that level. But yeah, if they're not solvable, then it's just going to fizzle out.
Right.
Hopefully not get any bigger. So... Yeah. That's all I have.
Oh, well,
those were the ones, but we can talk about you know, more, whatever. If you
want. I mean, we only have 2 minutes before this bitch is going to shut up.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, okay.
That was perfect timing.
Amazing.
So, what do you think about this?
What?
This recording thing.
Oh.
On the video now.
No, I like it. Do I have something in my teeth? Because no.
This camera is so far away, it's not zoomed in on your teeth.
I know, but
you think someone's going to zoom in on your face?
Yeah.
I don't think that that's...
I would.
Honestly, I wore socks because I was afraid that people were going to, like...
My legs are so hairy.
I think I got eczema on my foot. And I'm not trying to have someone
when we took
put
the pictures,
me on only feet.
When we took the pictures the other day, that's why I wore socks. Yeah. Not because of my eczema. I don't have that.
Yeah.
I do have hairy gremlin toes.
Well.
I have hobbit feet.
Yeah.
And hairy toes.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
That's fine. Not a lot.
Shave them, but yeah. I'm not.
Couldn't be. Not a bit. Well, thanks guys for being here again. We're gonna try and do this every week now. So watch
Maybe.
Us or listen to us.
If we watch it and I'm okay with it. I'm sure I will be.
You're gonna be.
Okay.
You're gonna be. Okay. All right. Thanks everyone. We'll see you next week.
We're out.